healing, the person delivering, giving peace, joy, happiness to people. Where can we take him? And I said, I know exactly where the place is. He gets alone and talks to God. If Jesus gets alone and talks to God, do you not think we should? One of the greatest things is beginning to develop in our church. I don't know if you know this or not, but voluntary prayer is happening here. Voluntary prayer. We're having people pray more and more. We started prayer teams about a year ago, and most of the time when I contact these people to pray over Sunday service, you know what they usually say? I'm just praying already anyway. I appreciate you calling, but I've already just got in the habit of praying anyway, so I'm going to stand my watch during those times, believe me, but I'm already praying. Amen? Then we've got other teams that already said, hey, I've got something on my heart. I've got to come in here and pray. You know what? They're praying. Amen? That's voluntary. You know what? There will be nothing we'll do in this church or in this ministry here on this mountain without prayer. Can't do it. It's impossible. Amen? It's impossible. That God loves it. And what one of the greatest things about prayer is when you're coming to God and you're saying, God, I can't do anything without you. I can't do this in my own strength, my money, my wisdom, my power. I can't do it. I know how to. I have resources to do it with, maybe. I can do a lot of things. I can talk to the right people. But God, I need your clarity. I need your green light. Amen? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to preach right here, but this is where God's kind of leading me to. Listen, God had the children of Israel fight many battles on their way to the promised land. Do you know what? You know what had to happen every time they went into a battle? They had to talk to God about it. The same that they had the same ability to fight the battle, but the only difference was success or failure is what? Yeah, prayer and God saying yes or no, right? God said, hey, look, hey, can we, in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, hey, God, can we go into this battle? No, don't go, you'll lose. Oh, we'll go anyway. There's no way they can beat us, right? And get destroyed. Go back to God. Can we go into that battle? No. Then go into situations where they're outnumbered, they're outmanned, right? There's no chance they can win. They go to God. God, can we go? God says, yes, go. You'll win. You'll prevail. Wait a minute. It don't make sense. The only thing that makes sense is you need to come to God first. Amen? We do a lot of things. Hey, listen, I'm not nailing you. I'm nailing me. We have done a lot of things over the last 6 years that we need to be praying about more. Amen? The first step need to be talking to God. The second step is getting started. Amen? Amen. God, y'all, it's good. I get it too. I feel it. Verse 2, and a certain centurion's servant, let me start right there really slow, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he entered into Capernaum, there was a centurion there, a man over 100 soldiers, right? This man's a busy man, wouldn't you think? He's occupying a foreign nation. He's over 100 different men and their families. He's dispatched outside of his home range, hometown, home place, right? He's a foreigner. He's over 100 people's lives in that foreign place, in a poor, impoverished place. But he has a servant who was dear to him and was sick and ready to die. That's his first relationship we learn about. He's got a servant who's sick and ready to die. Amen? Do you care about the little people in your life? Do you care about the little people? Do you see people as big and little, or do you see people as all important? Amen? Do you see people as everybody's important? Everybody that's in your life, everybody that's involved, they're all important. Amen? You need to look at them and say, wait a minute, they're important. This man had a servant. Man, I kept reading this. I want to read. You can read behind after this. You'll run in and you can read to Jairus. You can read to different people. Your daughter, your husband, your wife. I can understand. I can understand a foreigner who don't even believe in Jesus. He's from Rome. I mean, he's a soldier. I mean, man, there's no reason for me to jump over here and have faith in Jesus Christ. But think about this. Here he is. He's so desperate for a friend of his, a servant of his, that he's starting to believe that he's got to get Jesus involved in it. Man, ain't that amazing? Somebody who's not even a believer, who's not even of the country, who's, can we just be honest at this point in time? Jesus really ain't seeking the Gentiles out to save them. He's trying to capture the heart of his own people, even though he knows they're not coming to him. He's really not, that's not his ministry. But guess what? This guy has such a great relationship with somebody who's a servant to him, he's gonna do everything possible to see if he can make him whole. Do you go passionately at the small things and small relationships as you do the big relationships and the big things in your life? Amen? I have learned over 20 years of ministry, or close to it now, I'm starting to learn that God is, he's in the small things as much, if not more, as he is in the big things. It's the people you meet in the small, seemingly insignificant places who have nothing, who make great ministry connections compared to the people you think would be, that's automatic. I'm going to meet him, and then I'm going to meet them, and then I'm going to be there. And God says, no, I'm not even any of that. You're going to meet this guy who's broke, sick, poor, living in the gutter. He's going to tell another poor, sick guy living in the gutter. Let me keep going with this. Who's related to somebody who never thought his son would ever get out of the gutter. Who never thought their husband would get out of the gutter. Who never thought their wife would get out of the gutter. So then they come and meet you and they say, I go to a regular church. I've been praying and God used you to come to my friend, my brother, my sister in the gutter. Would you mind coming here and speaking to the rest of us where we can help get other people out of the gutter? Man, that's how it works. You're thinking, man, I'm not really meeting any important people. To God, everybody's important. Can we punt the brakes? We're right here in the scripture. Let me just preach it and teach it to you. Let this thing stick in your heart. Watch this right here. How is this guy going to meet Jesus? Because his servant's sick. He's about to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because his servant's sick and he cares about him. This whole thing's about his servant. He is about to come in contact. He's about to have an indirect conversation with God because he's concerned about somebody in his life. Whoo, glory to God. That's better than I thought. That's something I didn't see earlier. That's why you keep reading the book. Verse 3, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Who, what, when, and where? Who did he ask to go tell Jesus? The elders of the Jews, the people that he is the invading force. He is an occupying force. He is a soldier who has occupied the Jewish nation on behalf of the Roman Empire, and he is there as an occupying force, and he has built such a relationship with the people that he is there to make sure they're under control, that they are vouching for him. Your biggest critic should at least be able to say he or she is real. They really believe. They're really passionate. They really do what they say they're going to do. They're for real. Amen? I don't agree with them. I don't like it. They can say whatever they want to say about you. They can come up with whatever. But at the end of the day, they should be able to say, well, you know what? They pray for us. They love us. They try to help us. They never wore us. They never kicked us down never kicked us any further down. Man, could you imagine that? If you had to go and get, hey, would you mind going and talking to that Jesus guy of yours? For me, I'm just a centurion. Would you please go talk on my behalf? Man, you got to have a lot of confidence in the fact that you've been treating these people right, even though you're in a position to really not even consider how you're really treating them. Can we preach right there? Can y'all handle this tonight? Think about that. When sometimes in our lives, if we're not, sometimes in our lives, we get opportunity to be above some people, and we can treat them any way we want to. We probably won't need them. Not seemingly. They're just a bunch of people that, you know, I'm in control of, and as long as they stay under control, I don't really care what they do. Amen? But man, look at this. He's wanting them to be a conduit. He's wanting them to be an ambassadorship to Jesus on his behalf and on the behalf of his servant who's dying. I bet he never thought he would have to ask. And I bet they never thought he would have to ask them. Amen? Ain't that sweet when things like that happen? When the person that's in control needs the help of the people that are supposed to be being controlled? Amen? The people that are supposed to be like, man, this guy's in charge of us. We're supposed to be intimidated. But praise God, he went to him and he said, I need you. Amen? I need you to go to this Jesus on my behalf. Amen? Wouldn't that be something? Man, I hope I can treat the people that I don't even think are significant as though they are. Amen? Let me say it this way. And some of them that should be natural enemies to me. Amen? Should be somebody who's been objected to me. We should be at odds. Praise God. Maybe we should think about how we treat them too. Man, I know this is this stuff right here. Tonight, when I was getting ready for this message this week, I kept thinking, man, I hope it's that Wednesday night crowd that's hungry. I hope they came in there with thinking, man, I'm going to need something that I'm really going to apply to my life. This stuff right here, this ain't goosebumps. This is not Holy Ghost. This ain't shouting and running. This right here is examine yourself and see how you're treating people in relationships in your life, because if all your relationships are going to garbage and you're the only person that's, you know, I was with this group and this group and this group, they only got one thing in common. It's you. Amen. He's got this servant. He loves him, and he's going to go to Jesus on behalf. He's got these people that he's there in control of, and they're going to go to Jesus on his behalf. These are two people that he has a relationship with that he really don't even have to have this kind of relationship with. Man, this makes me want to examine myself. How am I treating people? Let me say it this way. Do you have to do all the explaining about every relationship you've been in and have to go to Jesus and talk to God about every relationship you've been in because you don't want God to talk into them? You don't want God talking to that servant on his deathbed. He might expose some stuff. You don't want the Jewish people to go. You don't want to go to the people that are supposed to be under you to go talk to God directly because they might say, well, you know, he's a terrible boss. Amen? He's supposed to be some spiritual guy, but you know what? He's really not doing what, the, you know, watch this right. Can we get, watch this right here, watch. Verse 4, and when they came to Jesus, look, he wasn't even there. Y'all need to write that as a note right there beside verse 4. He wasn't there. He didn't go. He wasn't there. They were there all alone. They could have said whatever they wanted to say, do whatever they wanted to do. Man, it's better to hear something about you that if you weren't there, what's the verdict then? Amen. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly. That means they begged him, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built a synagogue for us. What a word. Listen, God, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. He didn't know it. He didn't know it. He was blessing God already because he was blessing God's people already. He didn't know it. Here's what should have been his biggest critics in this story. Should have been the people. If they had any nails at this time, they could nail him. Roman guy coming here, running our country, telling us when we can go, where we can go, what we can say, what we can't do. No. You got all that. Amen. When they get up there, they beg Jesus, this man is worthy of this miracle that he wants you to do. Please hear his heart. He loves us. Man, I can't help but draw this. I hope when we're done here in this place, I hope this world could say they loved us. Those people, they loved us. He said, they built a synagogue. He built a synagogue for us. I mean, he didn't have to do that either. My gosh, he was invested. Are you invested in people and in relationships. Relationships are not always just give, just take, take, take. It's give. It's give in a relationship. I can show you. You watch people, how they do in church, in marriage, in friendships. Praise God. If they could just take and take and take and take until everything's run dry, and then they're gone. I see preachers do it all the time, going to church, get. All of a sudden, the church is dead and dried up, gone. Oh, I got to find a new church where it's more spiritual. And I can reverse that because I know y'all like that. Yeah, nail them old doggone preachers. But I see some people, too, who come to the house of God and they just say, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. They don't ever do anything else but feed me, feed me, feed me. And then they miss several meals. They miss a ton of meals. But then every time they come in, they'll feed me, feed me, feed me. But praise God, I just don't feel like I'm being fed here. I'm leaving. Can I tell you this about church? This ain't just an eating place. I mean, it's good to eat here. But praise God, if that's all you ever going to do, eventually, you're going to get tired of the food. Amen? I tell you, sometimes you're going to go, man, I'm tired. I'm like, man, I heard that already. I found this out. My mom made the best fried chicken on the face of this planet. Amen? But if she made it too soon, too often, I'd say something stupid like this. We having chicken again? Amen? I remember one time, Squeaky, you know, as I'm an adult now. I didn't know you did this, Ed, when I was a kid. I didn't have no idea. You cook what you have. Duh. I didn't know that as a kid. I thought it was like a five-star restaurant. I thought whatever I wanted on the menu. So I'm like, I didn't know we was in a chicken rut. I didn't know we was poor and chicken was on sale. Chicken again? And then, you know what? Time and space. Mom, if you just on Thanksgiving and Christmas, would you just make that fried chicken? I'll be fine. Right? What do you want me to make for Thanksgiving here? Fried chicken. Well, that's not a Thanksgiving dish. Oh, yes, it is. Sorry. I'm country. I'm just, yeah, it is. For me, it is. I won't even touch a turkey if there's fried chicken sitting there, especially for my mom. And that's the only thing I crave today from my mom, right? If she'd come back, boy, I would love to sit down and talk with her and eat her fried chicken. Amen. Think about that. But that's what it is to come to the house of God. That's what it is to come to the house of God. You keep coming. You think, man, that's good. Man, you come in here hungry. You come in here desiring. You come in here famished. You come in here when you've done everything God's told you to do. You pursued everything God wants you to pursue. You'll come in here. You're going after God. There'll be nuggets that fly out of this stuff that it won't matter. Can I preach the way it's supposed to be preached right there, Ed? Listen, I go to meetings a lot of time and I hear somebody preaching. When I'm really tuned in and I'm wanting something from God, that dude or that person will say something and, man, they'll disappear. And my mind is running a million times down the road. And I'm making message after message after message off the one thing that person said. I could hear a mouse and now I preach that every which way you could preach it. He'll hit one nugget and that dude disappears, the room disappears, and me and God are having a time. Amen. I love that kind of stuff. So look where he's at with this relationship. They're begging God on his behalf. He built us a synagogue. Verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him. This guy, every time I've read this story, I've never seen this from this point of view. I always see it from where we're going to get to on his faith, but I've never seen it in his relationships. He's talking about a servant. He sends some, should have been of his biggest critics, if not people that were just conveniently put into his life, and he'd done right by them. And then finally, he sent some friends. Finally get some people that are on his side. Do you have any friends? Are you hemorrhaging friends? Are you hemorrhaging relationships? You need to take an evaluation. You know what you got to do to have friends? It's simple. It's a little potion. It's a potion. It's a little formula. That's still a potion. It's a little formula. To have friends, You must show yourself. Whoa, wow. Ain't that amazing? What do you mean? How do I keep friends? Be friendly. Man, you wonder why people start running out of your life after the first, second, third month of being a friend with you, because guess what? You're just not friendly. Amen? You don't reciprocate friendship. They're being friends. They're offering advice. They're offering help. They're sowing into your life. They're doing things for you. But all of a sudden, you're sitting over there going, and they're over there drowning, underwater, needing help, and you won't pray, won't visit, won't talk, won't help, won't fun, won't sow, and you're sitting going, why? Oh, man, everybody just runs out of my life. They don't want to have no part of me. Whew. Ain't that amazing? Here's this guy who's a centurion in a foreign land. He's over there in a battle, really, that's not even his. And he's got all these people talking for him, and he's got friends. He's got friends in tough places, amen? In the words of Garth Brooks, he's got friends in low places. Sorry, I was there. I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd drop off. Sorry. Somebody sung it in their heart, in their mind already. What's this right here? So, verse 6. And then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. God, these are some good friends. You know why they're good friends? They told him exactly what he told him to tell them. Because sometimes if you're not careful, if you think you got a friend, but you really don't have a friend, they will tell people, especially God, what they think you should tell them. Okay, see, the centurion said, don't come on. Will you go on up there and meet Jesus, my friend, please, for me? Will you go meet Jesus? Because I don't even want to see him. I'm not worthy to see him. Will you please go up there and meet him? I know he's on his way. Will you go up there and meet him and tell him not to come any further? You know how some friends would be. They'd have got right outside the doorway and went, hey, he's crazy. He needs Jesus down here. Let's just tell Jesus to come on. Amen? But see, the centurion knew. By faith, he knew. He said, I don't need him here because God's bigger than that. Amen? And he was so good of friends. Golly, I'm preaching to somebody. Y'all just let this sink right here. He was such a good friend to these people, and they were such good friends to him, that they would even let him be detrimental in the friendship. Even in their minds, they would think, this don't make sense, but he's our friend, and he's never done it wrong. So guess what? We'll just do what he wants us to do. We'll just honor what he wants us to do. Man, ain't that cool? I don't know what kind of levels you were on right there when you start thinking, but I'm thinking, man, that's pretty good. When somebody says, man, I told him I don't totally agree with what they're doing, but praise God, he has shown himself to be a level guy. So guess what? When I go up here, I'm just going to tell him what he wanted me to tell Jesus. Golly, it makes sense to me. I don't know if it makes sense to you, but that makes sense to me for some reason. Watch this right here. The centurion sent friends, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Hey, man, listen, that's cool. He's got Jesus on the way, and he stops him. Man, I don't know about you, but sometimes we can get caught up in ourselves. And we think we're almost worthy to have Jesus come in, meet us, like it's an equal meeting. This guy's heart's so humble. Can I preach it the way, Johnny, can you get in the TV screen right here with me? I think he was just sitting there, and in his anticipation, he made the prayer, and maybe he didn't even think that Jesus would answer it like that and come, but then, you know, somebody probably got word to him, one of the 100 people he's under. Hey, he's on the way. He's like a mile out. Then I think he was like, probably like we would be. We were like, yes. Oh, no. Right? Yes, Jesus coming to my house. Wait. He done a little self-examination. Whoa. Holiness, righteousness, God. Me. God, you stop him right now. You tell him to throw the brakes on right now. Because he's God. And I'm not worthy for him to come in here. Who am I? God, I hope y'all get this. Who am I to sin for God? And why would God come? And oh God, I don't even think I can deserve. I can't handle you being in my home. But I know who you are. If you came this far, you're going to answer the prayer. And I don't need you. I don't need you to come any further to be you. You don't have to make one move towards me to be you. Man, I bet God, listen, I know it is because it says it in the scriptures, but I bet God was kind of, the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. I bet that God began to kind of swell. Like, what is this? This guy's got faith. Y'all, stay with me. I know what I'm preaching. I know. I bet it's good when Jesus got real faith, when he got touched by real faith. Like, oh, man, yes. This is what I'm here for. Amen? All the other stuff, it is stuff. This is what I came to save. I came to seek and to save that was lost. So when somebody really figures out who I am, I love to see people when they really figure out who Jesus is. Amen? They'll be messing around, doing stuff in the church, doing stuff in ministry, and you know, doing it for the wrong reasons, be around it. But all of a sudden, the light, like, well, wait a minute. I know who that is. That's Jesus. If God doesn't show me anything else from the Bible when we get to heaven, I pray that God lets me see when the thief on the cross got it. I just want to be able to see him go. I know he couldn't point his hands, you know, but I want him just to be going like, oh, wow, wow, you know. And then I want to compare it to mine. I remember where I was at when I really figured it out. It wasn't about church, and it wasn't about Bibles, and it wasn't about praying. It was about the Son of God who wanted to save my soul for eternity because he just simply loved me. And he always wanted a good life for me. He always wanted me to have him in my life. He always wanted to bless me. He always wanted to use me. That's what he wanted. I thought he was just trying to keep me, just wanted me to do better. No, he wanted to have a relationship. Verse 8. For I also am a man set under authority. Praise God. He said, I got people above me. Right? And having me soldiers, I got people under me. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another cometh, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Man, you know what he was saying? He goes, I know how to take orders, and I know how to give orders. I know what the chain of command is. If it comes down from the general, it'll go all the way down to the lowest private until it gets done. He said, what he was saying is, you are the general. And in this case, I am the private. And if you say it, it'll get done. It'll start coming down through the authority and through the chain, and it'll be done because you have authority in heaven and in earth. And anything you do, anything you speak, will happen. Whew. What he was telling Jesus, he said, you are the ultimate authority. If you want my servant to be whole, you can tell him to be whole. The sickness will have to leave because it has no more authority than you do. And you don't even got to come under my roof. Look what it says in verse 9. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, listen, we're talking about a centurion who's a Roman soldier. I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Do you see all the relationships coming together now? The servant, the centurion sitting there, and the servant is made whole. Golly, y'all get to, I hope y'all get to, I've never ended it this way, and I'm going to end it this way. The centurion sitting there by the bed, concerned about the prayer that he just sent out again. He sent the first prayer. He sent his friends out. And he's sitting there and he's concerned. I know God's having the power. I don't know why, if I stopped him, whatever I've done. And all of a sudden, the servant just sits up. Hey, boss. I'm feeling pretty good. Jesus. I've been talking with Jesus ever since you fell sick. Not directly, indirectly. I've been praying on your behalf. I even sent some Jewish people up there to meet Jesus. And then I sent some of our friends. And Jesus didn't even have to come down here. I sent my last prayer up to him. I told him to stop where he was at. I said he could heal you from up there just as well as he could here. There ain't no reason he could come in here and see two low lives like me and you. Because I didn't know if Jesus was going to answer the prayer until I looked over and seen you sit up. You know what I've come to understand? Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus stops and tells all the people that are in relationship with him. Amen? He's talking to his servant in the house who was sick. Jesus turns around and says, guys, I've never seen anything like this. Not in Jerusalem, nowhere. I've never seen faith like this. You know who he's talking to? Some lowly Gentile like you or me. All we have to do is believe by faith and get a hold of God. Amen? This lesson is about faith in God. The bigger lesson tonight for us here on a Wednesday night is take inventory on your relationships and how you treat people. Don't always let the loudest voice about who you are in relationship be yours. Let it be said by others. Let it be brought up by others. And if you do have that confidant in your life and you dare to know the truth, maybe ask them, how do you perceive I am in relationships with other people? With people that should be critical of me or under me, people that I'm in control of, and people that I should be friends with. How am I really? Can I leave you with this last thought while we close? You probably already know the answers to that question, right? You probably already know the answer to that question. But it wouldn't be bad to hear it from somebody else. But if you already know the answer to that question, it is, wait a minute, you mess up a lot of relationships because the way you treat people along the way. There's nothing that gets ruined faster by the way you treat people in relationship than your testimony about being a Christian. Let's all stand.